Pastor Ray Bentley brings a surprising scene from our studies in Mark.
As Jesus enters into the temple area and he sees all of this activity going on, he is visibly upset and disturbed by something that he sees, and he begins running and yelling and throwing things and turning tables over. I'm sure this was quite a sight for the disciples.
Spreading the news, all of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice, Jesus is coming, join the song.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Most Bible students are familiar with the account of Jesus overturning the money changers' tables in the temple. But Pastor Ray says many people miss the point of the story. They misunderstand just what the issue was. Today, as we continue our studies in Mark, we'll dig into this event and get a firm understanding from Scripture.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, and the title of the message, Trusting God. Oh, this is such a joy to be with the Lord Jesus as he now makes his way to the Temple Mount. Now, this is after, if you were with us, where Jesus had seen a fig tree, he cursed it. As he now makes his way to the temple, we talked about the fig tree, what it represents at that time. But now verse 15, it says, so they, Jesus and the disciples, came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple, and notice what he does, and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you, listen very carefully, have made it a den of thieves, or a den of robbers. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. And when evening had come, he went out of the city. Worshiping God through giving. The people are coming from all over the land of Israel, and some even beyond the borders of the country of Israel, to be at the Feast of Passover. Now, the city of Jerusalem at this time would have been a bustling city of activity. There were tens of thousands of Jews who lived in the vicinity of Jerusalem, in, near, and around the temple, so they could be worshiping God all year round. But at this particular time, it's even more crowded. In fact, they said that at the times of the feast, the city would grow by three times its normal population, as the major feasts of the Lord are now approaching. In particular, the very first one is Passover. So there are sacrifices to be purchased. You know that with Passover, there has to be a lamb for each family, and the head of the family, as they find a lamb and have it sacrificed there at the temple. And they have, you know, many of them, because they don't have their own independent country. They're under Roman rule and domination. They have come maybe from a pagan city where they live and where they work and are paid in Roman coins. Now, in order to be able to bring this and to offer sacrifices to the Lord, they want to exchange their pagan money, which has idols on it, for Jewish currency. And the other things that were required to worship the Lord in the Holy Temple. Now, as Jesus enters into the temple area and he sees all of this activity going on, he is visibly upset and disturbed by something that he sees. And he begins running and yelling and throwing things and turning tables over. I'm sure this was quite a sight for the disciples. Have you ever, you know, people think of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, so meek and so mild and so gentle and tender, like he's a Mr. Rogers with a robe on. He is not. And he could get animated, and his eyes could get big, and his voice could bellow, and he could throw things into the air, and birds are flying, and coins are falling, and tables are being overturned. Now, having set this scene, if you've ever heard this story and maybe seen it depicted in the movies about Jesus, there is an opportunity here for us to misunderstand what Jesus is doing and why he is upset. As I mentioned here in your notes, too often modern readers of this story assume that the terrible offense that is going on in the temple area is any kind of business in the temple precincts. I want to share with you that, to the contrary, the law not only said that this was something that was allowed, in the law of Scripture, in the Old Covenant, it was mandated that the needs of those who were pilgrims traveling from afar to come to Jerusalem for the feast, they had to have certain things met. They had to have the opportunity to exchange their currencies in order that they might offer a proper sacrifice and worship of God. It was actually a requirement for all Jewish men to not only come to the temple for the three main feasts. The three main feasts were Passover, and then Pentecost, and then Tabernacles. Passover actually had three feasts around it: Passover, then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. So you had to be there for those three feasts, then you could go home. But then, as you know, 50 days later, almost 2 months later, you had to be back a second time for the Feast of Pentecost. Then for the summer, you could go home. Then in the fall, the Feast of Trumpets and Atonement and Tabernacles, you had to come back. So you had to fulfill all seven of the feasts. But you know, because they were grouped together, three trips would cover all seven of them. And it was a requirement for them to be at these three feasts. And not only that, but it was during these three feast times, covering the seven feasts of the Lord, that they were required by the law to bring the first fruits and the tithes and the offerings of their lives and what God had blessed them with. They were to bring their tithes and offerings there to the temple and to worship God. Now, this could be a special hardship, especially if you were traveling from a very distant place. Therefore, God had made a provision in the law for those pilgrims who were traveling a great distance and wanted to be able to come and exchange their money in order that they might buy an acceptable sacrifice once they finally got to Jerusalem. Now, I'm not going to have you read it out loud with me because it's kind of long, but I thought this is something maybe you haven't thought of or read or heard before. I'm going to read to you, but it's in your notes. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 24 through 26. And as we read this, think about the story where Jesus is turning over these tables and so forth, and I think it'll give you a new perspective on what was happening. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, the first five books obviously written by Moses, he says, "But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand, and then go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep or wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household." So I want to make a special note and underline it. Those who were in the temple area there, they were not in the sanctuary of the temple. They were in the outer courts, the changers of money. They were fulfilling what was required by the law to help their brothers and their sisters be able to come to Jerusalem and worship the Lord. But in the midst of this, Jesus starts throwing tables up and coins flying into the air. And then Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, "My house," God is speaking, "will be called a house of prayer." All right, so Jesus is upset. They're doing what the law requires. They're providing a service that God said would be a blessing for them So what's going on here? What is the source of the problem? What really was making Jesus so upset? And here it is. It was not that they were exchanging things. It was not that they were money changers. They were doing the right thing, and they were in the right place. They were in the outer courts. But what we find out from the Gospels is that those who were the money changers, they were actually extorting the people, charging a lot extra. They were not being fair with the people who were coming to worship God. They were not giving them a fair exchange. They were taking advantage of them. We call it today gouging the customer and making too much money and profit, not just to live a humble life or be able themselves to pay and provide for their families, but they were robbing people. And that's what got Jesus so upset. And I think this is, you say, well, okay, well, what is the application? The application is this. Sometimes we get the feeling that we're being condemned because what we're doing is wrong, when in fact the Lord is saying, no, what you're doing is allowed, it's okay, but what is your motive? What is your heart? Are you taking an exaggerated advantage of your brother and sister? Are you extorting them? Are you using them in a way that is beyond what would be loving? And especially when it's related to coming and worshiping God. That was the core of it. That was at the heart of it. That's what made Jesus so upset. And what it revealed something. It was an indication that revealed that these people, had they kept it what was, yeah, they make a little bit. I mean, they are providing a service. The workman is worthy of his hire, the New Testament says. And so money itself, the exchange of the money, being able to exchange pagan coins that had, you know, Caesar's picture on it, and they believed that he was a god, and they said, I don't want to use pagan money. I want to worship the God with you know, Jewish currency. Okay, no problem. God honors that. But when the motive becomes, they have to come to me. I have them. There's nowhere else they can go. And then you start doubling the price, and then you triple the price, and then you really are taking advantage of these people who are coming to pray and to seek the Lord. Jesus said, you've lost the heart of what it's all about. The heart of this is not to make money in the temple precincts. There's business to be done. And so often I think that we get the idea that doing business in the world, oh, that's not a holy calling. Being a pastor, being a missionary, sharing your faith, being a witness, oh, those are spiritual things. But I now have to go out into this rude and pagan world and make a living, and it's somehow wrong, or there's something, you know, unholy about it all. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, the Lord wants for there to be businessmen, businesswomen, people that are making a living. And if it's done with the right heart, where the focus is on bringing glory and honor to the Lord, there's a way where we can all bless one another and be provided for and take care of our families and children, and yet have a heart where the Lord is first and foremost. Amen? So that's what the Lord was doing.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment.
We love hearing when Maranatha Radio and Pastor Ray's teachings are impacting lives.
Pastor Ray, I love your daily devotionals, especially your devotion on sharing our faith with others. I've been wanting to witness more about Jesus to my neighbors and friends, but I always get a little pushy. But your message was all about compassion, love, and gentleness. Thanks for a good lesson on how to reach others for Christ without driving them away. God bless you.
And we're so glad that Pastor Ray's teachings are helping. Would you take just 60 seconds and write Pastor Ray an email and let him know how these studies in God's Word have encouraged you? You can send that email to ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com.
And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, what's interesting is when Jesus comes in on this day, as I also put here in your notes, Jesus enters the Temple Mount on the 10th of Nisan. There's an actual Hebrew month called Nisan. Everybody say Nisan. That is the month of Nisan, and the 10th day. There was every year on the 10th day of Nisan at Passover, every single family on that day had to choose a lamb that for Passover would be sacrificed for you and for your family. In other words, this day, the 10th of Nisan, was lamb selection day. You had to choose your lamb, and you wanted a lamb that was without spot, a lamb that was without blemish, a lamb that was clean, a lamb that had no illness, it had no sores, it was as pure as it could be, so that it would be accepted by the priests, and that it could then be sacrificed, and your sins could be passed over. It is no coincidence that Jesus, on the 10th of Nisan, which is the day when the nation, family by family, is choosing a lamb, it's almost, you can just see the heart of God and the Father saying, this is the lamb. Select my son, my dearly beloved son. The lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Choose Yeshua. Choose him. Now, what's also interesting, so this is the day that they're all choosing a lamb, and there is the Lamb of God walking through. Do you know what else you had to do if you were in a Jewish family and you were 2,000 years ago and you were coming to Passover? In your home, you had to meticulously go through your house and look in every corner and behind every chair and drawer, and you had to look for and get rid of even the tiniest bit of leaven. Do you remember that? And leaven in the Bible is a type of what? Sin. How interesting that now Jesus, the Passover lamb that is holy and pure and without spot and without blemish, on Lamb Selection Day, comes to the house of his Father in heaven and sees the leaven of extortion and the leaven of greed and the leaven of taking advantage and gouging brothers and sisters. And Jesus is cleansing the leaven out of the temple on the way for his sacrifice that would come on Passover itself. So there's a lot that is happening in these verses when Jesus cleanses the temple. And there are some wonderful things for us to think about. Not to be condemned. Whatever you do for a living, the Lord honors it and he blesses it. And it is a holy calling. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Amen? Right. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord. If you're a carpenter, I am a carpenter for the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm a teacher, I am a teacher, ultimately, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever calling you have becomes holy as you do whatever it is to make your living, but you do it as unto the Lord. Amen? Now, verses 20 through 26, Jesus teaches us a powerful lesson on prayer. We read in verse 20, it says, now in the morning, so Jesus left the Temple Mount on Mount Zion, probably went down the Kidron Valley. Mount Zion, there's a very steep valley on the eastern side, the Kidron Valley, and then back up to the Mount of Olives, and probably stayed somewhere there on the Mount of Olives, which he was used to doing every time he would come to Jerusalem. But now it's morning, and he's going to make his way back. Now in the morning, as they passed by, he and the disciples, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith or have trust in God. For assuredly, I say to you, who's he talking to? He's talking to his followers. He's talking to the disciples. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking to you. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. All right, now let's talk about this for just a moment. The power of trusting God in prayer. I put Mark 11:22 in the Complete Jewish Bible because it uses that word that I love so much. Faith means trust, and trust means faith. He responded, have the kind of trust that comes from God. And then when Jesus says this, believe that you have it, when you're asking it, we want to put together some scriptures and give a big picture about prayer, how to pray, and the effectiveness of prayer. So prayer must be according to the will of God. It doesn't mean that prayer means I get my will done. Prayer is about getting God's will done. Can I hear an amen out there for that? Now, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So this does not mean, let me say what this does not mean. It does not mean that if I pray hard enough and believe, really believe hard enough, God is obligated to answer my prayers. No, what it does mean is that if you believe, if you really believe, and you are praying according to the will of God, then whatever you pray shall be granted and it shall be done. How do we know what the will of God? That becomes really the main issue of prayer. And what gives us confidence to pray with faith and trust that gets the answer. But the big thing is it the will of God? Have you ever wondered, is this the will of God or what is the will of God? And you're not sure how to pray. How do we know, if we want to know, I want to pray with faith and I want to pray with confidence and I want to pray with a power that will give me the answer to the prayer that I have, how do you do it? True faith is based on the Word of God. In other words, we learn the will of God by being in the Word of God. God's Word reveals His will. And He will speak His Word to you and make it come alive to you. And that's why we need to daily be in the Word. This Word is, some people think of this as like ancient words, past words. This is the living Word of God. And I am telling you, everything that God has said, it's not past. The Word of God is like all the words of God and all the promises of God are swirling around us right now, and they are living. And you grab the word that the Holy Spirit prompts for you for this particular situation, at this particular moment, and you grab hold of that Word of God that is alive, and the current of the power of God speaking right here, right now, His creative power, His omnipotent power will surge through you as you pray, and you will see the answer to your prayers. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley with good biblical insight on how we can pray more effectively. We're on a journey through the Gospel of Mark here on Maranatha Radio. Glad you're joining us. Today's study is titled, Trusting God. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, when you click Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can link to Pastor Ray's Facebook page, his podcast, his YouTube channel, and Twitter feed. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books, On the Mountain of the Lord, and his latest, The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on our site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.